Welcome to Banana Bites. In this segment of the podcast, we go live on Dataiku's LinkedIn and Twitter every other week to talk to you about the latest in data science and AI. Our 15-minute bites are here to fuel your afternoon snack time with easy-to-digest food for thought. Hi, and welcome to Banana Bites. I'm Triveni, and with me are Corey and Chris. And together, we are the Banana Data Podcast gang, I guess. So we have a regular show that is available wherever you listen to podcasts, where we talk about AI, ML, and other kind of funny things sometimes. So if you're interested in hearing more, be sure to check us out. But for right now, for the bite, I'm going to turn this over to Corey, who has a tweet for us to look at.
Thank you, Triveni. And hasta la vista, baby. What does this viral Twitter post mean in the context of data science? Well, let me share my screen and show you. Oh, look at those terrible nunchucks.
He looks so happy.
Oh, my God. He really... Whoa. I should get my dog nunchucks.
Oh, man.
Yes.
I took one karate class in my life. Terrible. So that bear has skills.
So anyway, as the tweet asks, should we really be worrying about Skynet as the biggest possible problem or future type problem that's facing AI? Skynet, for all of you that are not aware, is a fictional artificial neural network-based conscious group mind and artificial general superintelligence system. Say that five times fast. But anyway, the tangible example is that, like, if there's a bear wielding nunchucks right in front of you, isn't that the bigger problem? Isn't that the immediate issue? Isn't that sort of the tangible worry that we should be having about with AI rather than this fictional supervillain that may or may not ever come?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that tweet is saying, who cares about AI robots, right, when there's bears with nunchucks, right? Like, the very real in-person problem. But I think we should take this as a metaphor, because I think that bear is actually a metaphor for data scientists who wield AI irresponsibly, or like wield them like nunchucks that they don't know how to use. And now, okay, I'm not saying data scientists don't know what they're doing. I'm a data scientist.
I
usually don't know what I'm doing, actually, but other people around me do know what they're doing. And in terms of like pure data science, pure statistics, all of that work, we're doing a great job. But are we doing right by the actual impacts of what our work is, or of what we're producing out there? So the bear knows how to throw the nunchuck around, and like, he's not hurting himself, certainly, and he's getting some enjoyment, but he might be hurting a lot of other things around him without realizing. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's the same issue for data scientists today to think about, like, yeah, Skynet and like robots in the future or whatever, that's actually less scary than like us using AI in a way that we don't even realize what we're doing with it.
Mm-hmm. And Chris, before you provide some context, I just want to let everyone know, if you know of any bears that are wielding nunchucks, please comment. Please ask us any questions that you may have. We'll try to be able to answer it to the best of our ability.
Yes. And if there are any bears running around outside with nunchucks, please let us know so we can go the opposite direction.
Yeah.
I actually also really thought that the bear and the nunchucks are analogous to another situation where the nunchucks itself can be our personal information, and the bear can be various companies and organizations using that data for good or for bad. And this brings up to light the General Data Protection Regulation, the GDPR, which is something we'll talk about on a future episode, that kind of tries to put into place ways in which we can protect ourselves from the misuse of that data. And I kind of like this idea because as we go into, you know, this big data age, once again, all of our personal information is often tracked, our name, our address, even the last place we went to get lunch. And we want to make sure that that data is not misused, or if it is used, that it's used appropriately and is safe and secure in where it's managed. And the GDPR kind of keeps that at the forefront of our minds, in the sense that it forces organizations and companies to make a case for keeping that kind of data and also proving to us that they're keeping it safe. So that when they are wielding our nunchucks, hopefully they're doing it in a safe way.
Yeah, the only thing with GDPR is, one, it's mostly Europe. It is Europe, right? Mm-hmm. California is now coming out with their own guidelines that are similar, but that's not something universal. That's not something that every country has to abide by. Mm-hmm. But then the other thing is that these companies that need to be enabled or need to abide by GDPR, their solution is, okay, here's like a pop-up when you come to our website of, do you accept our cookies? Or like, can we track you? Can we have cookies? Somehow I never get cookies out of this situation. It really bothers me. That's what I'm saying. But I think that the point here is that the person needs to opt in, right? And you can say like, no, like mm-hmm. whatever. Half the time I don't care because I just want to like look at the website and there's this dumb pop-up. So just like whatever literally the button is closest to my finger or to my mouse at that point in time is what I click.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it's great. We're opting in, but are we opting in with knowledge of our own? Are we opting in understanding what we're agreeing to? Mm-hmm. And then how are we supposed to follow up on that?
The funny thing that I think that we're escaping, well, we've touched on a little bit, but when we're looking at like the future or problems in the data science industry, problems with AI, even problems with Terminator, they're fundamentally human problems. You know, I think the first three Terminator movies that I keep on harking on here are a really good analogy. The first movie is about the future of what happens with Skynet and that it's a world where Skynet has taken over and humans are just are serving as a resistance more or less. But if you look at movies like T2 and T3, they're fundamentally caused by human action. T2, there was a machine that was made operational by humans that was destroyed. T3, Skynet, spoiler alert, was uploaded by a general as a national security initiative, but it turned out that it was just, they were just manipulated so that Skynet could become operational. At the end of the day, the problems that I think that are facing us, especially now, as opposed to the future where we can kick the can down the road and not necessarily have to take responsibility for it, is that, you know, these are challenges that we should be focusing on and humans should be fixing right now and not necessarily relying on AI or the technology or training people how to use the technology out of context and hoping that everything figures itself out.
Yeah, you really know your Terminators.
Yeah, I love it.
Like, wow. Yeah, no, I think that's right. You know, when we talk a lot about this concept of human in the loop, and saying like, okay, we're not just going to turn over our AI systems to be completely autonomous. And like, there's always going to be someone checking in, but then that someone checking in or whatever it might be needs to know or needs to at least understand that there are potential issues here. And I think from what I see, the main like sticking point is that we have to agree that not only is data biased, algorithms are biased, how we implement them are biased. Mm-hmm. Like the entire pipeline itself is prone to bias, error, unfairness, whatever term you want to throw. And when we accept that, then as humans, we have a lot more power to say, okay, we control this system, so we can actually fix it and make it better versus saying, well, no, but this is just math. This is just how it fits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think to your point, Corey, about, you know, possibly kicking the can down the road when as these problems arise, you know, thinking again about the GDPR in the sense, maybe Trevaney, it's I kind of agree a little bit here that it's not necessarily the process by which companies are going about this. Getting our opt-in is maybe not the most ethical sometimes. But the positive, I think, on this front is that it's opening up a dialogue, a serious dialogue about this kind of topic. And, you know, the EU is doing it now, as you mentioned, California is coming into the game. And, you know, my hope is that this will spread globally to not only raise awareness, but also force people to understand ethically what we're doing with our data, both as individuals, giving the rights to the individuals, but then also holding others accountable for their use and possible misuse of that data.
Yeah. And I think we're getting there, right? I think we should also be clear that it's not like all, you know, woe is us and everything's falling apart. We are starting to recognize this as an industry, as a community, right? That, okay, we have made some errors in the past, or we've made pretty big errors, and we need to figure out a way forward. So I think those kinds of conversations are happening. And that's why, frankly, a lot of like the GDPR stuff has also come out too, because not only are, you know, subject matter experts recognizing this, also the government, you know, the people in charge of things are realizing that there's some real real regulation required in this space.
So there's a Mother Goose adage, if there be one, try to find it. If there be none, never mind it. Is there anything that people we might assume is something that is just too broad or too not understood well, like something that we don't understand well enough that we should just ignore now and hope to address in the future? Or is there really nothing that's out of bounds right now that as a regular data scientist, as someone in the industry, someone adjacent to it, a citizen data scientist, if you would, should be focusing on or playing a role or having a responsibility in to be able to help, you know, finesse or promote or help the data science industry?
Well, I never think that we should just completely ignore something, but it is impossible to know exactly what the future holds. No matter how great statisticians we are and we try to predict the future, it's hard to tell. But even the founding fathers and the Constitution had the elastic clause, which kind of opened up the door for there's going to be stuff in the future that we are going to encounter when we want to be able to deal with it in, I guess, the most appropriate way, given that time frame. So in the data science realm and the AI realm, I think it's important for us to be cognizant that we are going to encounter things in the future, but not necessarily ignore them, but basically say, when this happens, maybe there's a way in which we can deal with this logically. I guess that's a little bit of a weird answer. Not to ignore it, but also be comfortable being uncomfortable, I guess.
Yeah, I think like, we don't know if there's not a solution if we haven't even tried to find one yet. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very easy to default to be like, oh, this, yeah, that seems like a real problem. We'll just have to
deal with it later.
But if you don't actually first try to address it, then you don't even know. So I'm curious to hear if any of our viewers right now have some ideas about what that can mean, right? Like, what are some things that they feel like are being kicked down the road versus being addressed?
Where are the bears and where are the nunchucks?
Yeah.
Literally. Literally. On a map.
Great.
So you talk about Terminator quite a bit on this podcast, and I'm thinking a little bit more about Jumanji and how the animals just run down the street. That's what I'm envisioning.
Oh, man. Well, I think that is enough bears and nunchucks for a day. I really appreciate, of course, this conversation is always good. If you enjoyed what we had to say, if you want to hear more, you know where to find us. Wherever you listen to podcasts, check out the Banana Data Podcast. I think we will wrap it up for now and see you next time on the Banana Data Bites.
I'll be back.
Oh, boy. Bye.
Bye.
And that's all we have for our Banana Bites today. To catch our live segments, follow Data IQ on LinkedIn or Twitter for bi-weekly live streams.